Good evening, all you MAGA Republican extremists out there. You know, the ones that the left hate so much. The chats are open. We're live on Facebook, live on Getter, live on Rumble, live, of course, on the Patriot Podcast Network on Roku TV. Hope you're all doing awesome out there. The chat's open. We got Tennessee in the house, Iowa, Wisconsin, California. We got people everywhere, which is awesome. I haven't seen any of my Florida peeps yet. Maybe they'll pop in. Hopefully they have power. They have said like 2 million people don't have power right now. Roger Stone has power. He's in Florida. I was just on his show earlier at 5 p.m. I did an hour with him. He had power. Naples is devastated. I know people in Naples that lost their homes. If you're in Florida, you know, I wish you the best. It's crazy. They're saying the devastation is unbelievable. Thoughts and prayers really aren't going to get you nothing, but I hope you guys get through it. And, unfortunately the morons on the left are out there politicizing it, you know, climate change, because, you know, hurricane season, and this is the first hurricane that hit landfall. I mean, it was really bad, but you know, just because I drive a gasoline truck doesn't mean I'm causing hurricanes. So, you know, but that is not going to stop the left. It's not going to stop legacy media from attacking people like, you know, the great Governor Ron DeSantis, who is doing a bang up job with the response. They were going after him. We'll get into that a little bit. I have some videos, got a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, I was on Roger Stone's show and he's been in the news lately. They're going after him again. You know, they have this Danish film crew was following him around doing a documentary. And, they have manipulating all these audio clips saying he was promoting violence and they're just all this reaching bullshit for the January 6th hearing, which, you know, do you think they postponed the January 6th hearing because of Hurricane Ian? I don't think so. I think they're panicking. They don't know what to do, or they think they have this aha moment and, oh, look, Roger Stone and CNN and promoting violence and saying that, you know, Donald Trump should maintain that he won and all of this. Everything that Roger Stone, whether he said it or not, there's no criminality, nothing. They're calling him treasonist on the left and all these other names, you know, Alex Jones, Roger Stone, Gerald Flynn, Donald Trump, the whole crew. They're all insurrectionists, they say. And if anything, they exercise their First Amendment right. You could see Roger Stone renouncing violence. There was, I think, a sound bit. They said that, you know, oh, Antifa, shoot to kill. And not for nothing. You know what? I don't disagree with that because they're pieces of shit that burn down cities and kill people. So anyway, enough of that. Bunch of stuff. I got an interesting story. Breitbart came out with it as an exclusive that I'm not seeing many people talk about. This ridiculous, vile individual, our good friend Hillary Clinton. Oh, did her new show get canceled yet? What is it called? Her and Chelsea, what do they call it? Gutsy? Gutsy. They should just call it Really Ugly Women Trying Desperately to Stay Relevant, but wear pieces of shit, and that's what it should be called. So, I don't know if it's canceled yet. Anyway, Hillary Clinton, her campaign, back when she was running for president against the big bad orange man, Donald J. Trump, there's a book that's coming out that actually says that the Hillary Clinton campaign was extremely paranoid and actually feared and promoted this fear among the staffers of the campaign that Russians would poison Hillary Clinton with Donald Trump's handshake at the debate. This is how sick they go with this Russia, and dossiers and hoaxes and bullshit and conspiracies that they actually think, and they have these morons on the left, their irrational thinking idiots, their voting base, however many are actually left, especially the ones in the cemetery, believing the big bad orange man is in fact 100% Putin's puppet, Russian agent, Russian asset, and they thought that Russia was going to poison Hillary Clinton during a debate. As a matter of fact, there was a debate where they had come out, this video of it, where they didn't shake hands. And that was the debate they were worried about. They were worried that there was going to be poison on Donald Trump's hands. I can't even believe this. And that shaking, like real hardcore KGB assassin stuff, super secret squirrel missions of the Russian KGB and the assassins, that Donald Trump was going to be the vessel to kill Hillary Clinton, to make sure Donald Trump got his victory. Because, you know, of course, Russia manipulated the election and made sure Donald Trump got elected. Remember that, right? Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, illegitimate president. The election was hijacked and all that good stuff. But if you say it now, they want to put you in jail for treason. Remember that. Okay. So there is AOC, Waters, Pelosi screaming that people need to attack MAGA supporters. Right. That's not inciting violence. It's funny because I got a fact check on my Facebook about that. I'll talk about that a little bit. But if, in fact, those remarks that they made in a meme, legit, they made those statements. I put it on my Facebook and it was fact checked. It was taken out of context. No, it wasn't really taken out of context. They were inciting violence, you know, all of them. But it's okay when they do it. But if I say that there might be election irregularities or it's stolen, I'm treasonous and I should go to jail and I should be deplatformed for spreading horrible, horrible misinformation. Okay, so back to this paranoid Hillary Clinton campaign. They feared the Russians would poison her with the death grip Donald Trump debate handshake. With his little orange hands, he was going to kill Hillary Clinton. So, the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, the 2016 presidential staffers, they were so paranoid that they actually thought the Russians would poison her with the Donald Trump handshake that they told her not to shake his hands at any of the debate. And there's a book coming out. It's called Confidence Man, The Making of Donald Trump and the Breaking of America. Oh, of course, it's by a New York Times reporter, Maggie Haberman. Oh, yeah, this ought to be a great book. I'm sure it's already a bestseller. It's not even out yet. But an excerpt of the book, which was obtained exclusively by Breitbart News, apparently it comes out next week, the book. Haberman's book uncovers that senior advisors to Clinton actually believed in an extreme state of paranoia that Trump would engage in some kind of secret plot with the Russians to deliver a poison to her via handshake before the third debate in 2016. The remarkable scene right out of a comedy, The Interview, where an entertainment show host who was set to interview a fictional, I remember this movie, Kim Jong-un, is approached by U.S. intelligence agents and taught to try to poison him during a handshake. And that's also recounted in the book. So literally, they thought there was paranoia that this was going to happen through Russia, that Donald Trump was going to be a vessel of the poison. I think that's interesting. So apparently Democrats found themselves just disoriented by the whole thing. And they were preparing for the third debate that, and then Clinton's team was disrupted just by this unbelievable warning. And it all came from the husband of Dianne Feinstein. Oh, another stellar patriot, right? What'd she have, a Chinese spy driving her for 20 years? They said that he was told, Dianne Feinstein's husband had been told that Russians might try to poison Clinton through this death grip handshake with Trump to either, you know, to inflict a dramatic health episode or obviously worse, maybe death during the debate. And I don't understand what the positive from that even would be. So it's wild. Apparently, they say that Hillary herself didn't take it seriously, but Ron Klain, who is currently Joe Biden's chief of staff, was helping Hillary Clinton prepare for the debate. and basically really was thinking about, well, how would Donald Trump poison Hillary Clinton and not himself if the poison was on his hands? That's literally what they were worrying about during going into the third presidential debate. So the communications director, this woman from the campaign, Jennifer Palmieri, she's at now she's a co-host of some series on, I think, Showtime or something like that. She went ahead and decided to investigate whether Dianne Feinstein's husband's, you know, claims and concerns about this Trump poisoning had any validity. So they apparently took it serious enough where they told her, don't worry about it, but don't shake Donald Trump's hand. Don't worry about it. Don't shake Donald Trump's hand. So they actually thought that the big bad orange man, they're so delusional, would attempt to poison Hillary Clinton. So it almost makes you think, would the Russians do it? Because the Russians are famous for poisoning, you know, political opposition and enemies and just making people disappear. I mean, in the middle of public parks and on other places. And the a lot of times the people that are planting the poison end up as collateral damage and dying anyway, probably by design for no witnesses. But would if this was legit, would Donald Trump have known about it, or would there be something on his hand that maybe wouldn't make him as sick, or some chemical reaction with a handshake where Hillary Clinton would have a severe medical episode and maybe die? It's really interesting. It's so crazy. They talk about that, and they say conservatives are conspiracy theorists. You're a conspiracy theorist. I'm a conspiracy theorist. Just by saying that there might be election irregularities, just by saying that a magic liquid in your arm could cause neurological damage, not could, does, we're conspiracy theorists, and they literally were going through a campaign worried about debates if the big bad orange man was going to poison Hillary Clinton with the help of, or by direction, or facilitated by the Russians. I mean, how do you... Yeah, this is bizarre world. But apparently this book is coming out. And what's great is when it comes out, you know that, you know what the Democrats are going to do. Look, it just goes to show you that Donald Trump was Putin's puppet or is Putin's puppet and all of this other nonsense. Meanwhile, our commander-in-chief, our president, who can't even get words out. Well, apparently neither can the vice president, because we got some word salad videos for Kamala Harris. But sleepy Joe Biden, he's speaking at some hunger, nutrition, and health conference, and he's talking about things, and all of a sudden he's looking for a dead Republican congresswoman. We're at this event. He literally was supposed to be honoring her, you know, because she put some stuff together. She was in part of the whole honor. And he literally, I guess, forgot that she had died in a horrific car wreck a month before, talking about Republican congresswoman Jackie Walorski from Indiana. She was killed, I believe, with a couple other people in a car accident. Joe Biden is on stage thanking people and literally is like, where is this woman? I have the short clip. And it's just, this again just goes to show how shot the man is. Oh, okay, people. Shot meaning he's out of his mind, not shot with a gun. I don't need the Secret Service banging on my door because I used the word president and shot in the same sentence. Joe Biden cognitively is completely shot. We know that. And, you know, he thinks he's going to run again for president. So check this out. I think you'll be able to hear it.
I want to thank all of you here, for including bipartisan elected officials like Representative Governor, Senator Braun, Senator Booker, Representative Jackie. Are you here? Where's Jackie? She's dead. I didn't think she was going to be here.
Because she's dead. Because she's dead, Joe. That's what happens when you die. You're not around anymore. and he knew this. Do you hear when he talks just the ramble, sent like the mumbling? He's trying to muddle through whatever's on the teleprompter, or when he's not on the teleprompter, just mumbling. I'm surprised, like on the teleprompter. Thank God it didn't say something like, I don't know if there was a teleprompter there. I would imagine there was something about like, oh, Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, and then like in parentheses or something, deceased. And he actually said, you know, would say, hey, Jackie Walorski, deceased. Instead, no, he was looking for the dead woman in the crowd. But interesting enough, and this wasn't even from Ducey. They were like basically part of the mob media was asking KJP, what was it? Jean Pierre there. Was it Karina? I forget her name. I just call it KJP, the new White House press secretary. She was asked about, Joe Biden basically looking for a dead woman while he's behind the podium. Did he not realize he's dead? And then she comes up with this unbelievably moronic explanation, more word salad. And she uses the term top of mind literally like 13 times, and just fumbling and fumbling and just repeating the same exact thing, because she knows, KJP knows, that Joe Biden is a complete moron. He's inept. He has no cognitive ability to be president whatsoever. And I say it all the time. I truly believe that even back with Jen Psaki and this woman, KJP, you know, the black queer woman, who that's why she got her job. So they're so proud. It's another milestone. Oh, am I a racist, homophobe for saying that? Oh, because she was hired as White House press secretary because she was a black queer woman and they made a big deal about it. Yeah. Okay. Call me whatever you want. Anyway, I don't believe they have access to Joe Biden at all. I don't believe Jen Psaki had access to Joe Biden. And I do not believe that KJP, the new press secretary or newer press secretary, has direct access to Joe Biden. I think it's all through third person. I think if two or three people have direct access to Joe Biden, it's a lot. And that includes Jill Biden. I believe that there are just the people handling everyone. And then everyone answers to Susan Rice and she answers to Barack Obama and the other nefarious individuals who are actually in charge of the Republican Party and the administration. Because clearly Joe Biden is not, doesn't know who's dead, doesn't know who's alive, doesn't know the names of the secretaries he's appointed to various departments, and basically just has no... The lights are on, they're flickering, but there's nobody home, or there's somebody home rocking back and forth in a rocking chair, not able to speak. So let's take a listen to this clown.
What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened?
He had already planned to welcome the Congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. She was on top of mind, and she was a top of mind. And I think the American people out there who, you know, watch the briefing from time to time, maybe at this moment, will understand when someone is at top of mind. As he was naming folks, she was on top of mind. I don't think it's all that unusual to have someone top of mind. What I had said is that she was on top of mind. I just answered the question about her being on top of mind. Many of us have gone through that particular time where someone is on top of mind. Sometimes when you have someone top of mind, they're on top of mind. Exactly that. Wow. She was on top of mind. Again, she was at the top of mind.
She was on top of mind. She was on top of mind. If you can't look at that and say that it is 100% complete lie, and just let's cover up again for the senile old man, because, you know, either the White House is covering up for him or walking something back. Top of mind. So he doesn't know who's alive. He doesn't know who's dead. And then we have what are we doing with this guy? we're on the, it's like, are we on the brink of World War III? Are we not on the brink of World War III? Are things as bad as we think they might be? Like, what, where are we at with this guy? It's a rhetorical question. I think we know where we're at with this guy. I mean, it's scary. It's extremely scary. And the White House just sits there and gaslights it like it's no big deal. The president is clear. The president. And Karine Jean-Pierre just flat out refused to explain why Joe Biden said what he did. And because, well, she was top of mind. So, you know, yeah. It's really, it's sad. It's more than confusing. And she's basically like, yeah, my answer's not going to change. She was top of mind. That's it. This is what I was told to say, because she didn't, I mean, you hear her speaking, and I didn't, that was just all the time she said top of mind. Like, I didn't go through the entire speech, the entire answer, but the whole answer and response was scripted. They're going to ask you this, and this is what you're going to say, and you're not going to deviate from that. She struggled with it because she knew it was a lie, but she has to be complicit in it, or, you know, they'll find someone else who's going to be complicit in it. And then we have our illustrious Vice President, Kamala Harris. The borders are, that, you know, the border is secure, but it's wide open. Oh, speaking of borders, you know, the Dominican Republic is actually right now, they're building 100 miles of border wall to keep out illegal Haitian immigrants. So are the Dominicans in the Dominican Republic, are they xenophobes or for not wanting illegal Haitians in their country for building a border wall? I'm wondering, they should hire Donald Trump as a consultant for the border wall in the Dominican Republic. But yeah, so the Dominican Republic is building their own border wall to keep Haitian immigrants out. And us, we have the wall. It's not finished. It's all rotting out there in the desert. But let's bring them all in, and all your fentanyl, which, by the way, the Democrats just blocked the crackdown of fentanyl and criticized Republicans for saying that rainbow fentanyl pills might end up in kids' Halloween candy. You're not supposed to say that. You can't say that. It's wild. Oh, we're giving $12 billion more to Ukraine, by the way. $12 billion. And another $3 billion is going towards Biden's unvetted Afghani refugees. I don't know what that $3 billion is doing, but apparently they need it for something, for resettling and giving free stuff to unvetted, no background checks, no nothing, to these Afghani refugees that we just brought in. Of fighting age, mostly men, because you saw it was being packed in the planes during the evacuation. Well, hey, we're here, and now we're gonna allocate $3 billion to do all kinds of funky bullshit with them, where most of that money will end up in, obviously, people's pockets who are donating to Democrat campaigns. So you know how that's going to go, people. Yeah, so Kamala Harris. So much going on. It gets, you know, shiny object over here. Oh, look, the border wall. Oh, look, fentanyl. Oh, look, somebody got stabbed in the face with a screwdriver in broad daylight in New York City. Hillary Clinton's getting poisoned. Ugh. Hurricanes in Florida that the Republicans are, it's the Republicans' fault that the hurricane came. Yeah, we'll get into that too. So, actually, before I get into anything else, let me put a pause on before Kamala Harris. So, I was having this conversation with Roger Stone earlier today because he is basically one of the kings of censorship. He's been banned from everything. I think the only thing he's on now is Truth Social and Gab. And he was getting banned from platforms before it was cool to get banned from platforms. Like back in 2017, I think he was getting banned from platforms. So I today, if you happen to follow me on Instagram and you go and you look for me, the Instagram account is gone, nuked. It was about 8,000 followers. It was my fourth Instagram account, The Great Divide Podcast. Woke up today, went on to go. I usually post some stuff in the morning, memes and stuff, you know, try to keep you savages and insurrectionists entertained while I, you know, go throughout the day, which I'm glad you all enjoy the memes I post on Facebook, Instagram, Truth Social, and all that. I try to do what I can to keep all you people laughing and sharing. So, because I want to haunt your lives with, you know, memes and content. And I appreciate you all tuning in always and listening and engaging with me, whether you're telling me I'm a piece of shit or you're telling me I'm kind of cool. Either way, I like it. So it's all right. Anyway, Instagram, boom, newt. Now, I did not get any notifications that I was posting anything against community standards. That's why I'm wearing my Violate Community Standards t-shirt tonight. Yes, because that's me. I violate community standards everywhere I go, especially on social media. So what was interesting is then I got into thinking more about it. So those of you who might not have noticed, J.R. Majewski, running for Congress in Ohio's 9th District, was getting accused of, thank you, I appreciate it, I'm cool. Thank you very much. The thumbs up in the chat, I'm glad they're not middle fingers. I appreciate that, Nancy. So he was accused of stolen valor. I mean, he was in the military, in the Air Force. He did time in Afghanistan, and they were saying that he didn't. And it's his opponent, this Democrat, forget her name. She's irrelevant. She's been there 40 years, has done absolutely nothing. J.R. Majewski, patriot, has military service. They were going after him. She even had trolls and bots on social media, which they attract, that were fake accounts, and they were going after him and anybody who was posting in his defense. Now, I took a stand, and I posted in his defense that I stand with J.R. Majewski. I had a conversation with him and you know, spoke to him about it, and I've spoken to him in the past, and he is he's Trump-endorsed, true patriot, loves America, wants to save America, and I think he's going to win. He's in a heavy Republican district. His opponent is running scared. She's going to lose her salary that she's had for 40 years for doing absolutely nothing. So I noticed when I posted it on the Facebook page and then something on Instagram, I was getting attacked by a lot of people saying that, oh, JR is a liar. You're a liar. You support liars, blah, blah, blah. F you, F this, F that. And then I'm going into these profiles and I'm looking, doing a little investigating and noticing that these people had no followers. They didn't have a profile picture, that they were just all fake profiles. Some of them were made like a week prior. Some of them were made like a month prior. So it's like they had these things saving them ready to go for something. So I posted something on Instagram and I noticed last night on one of them, I don't remember the post. And it was like, people kept saying, oh, report this, report this, report this. And I'm like, what is this? And you could tell it was like me. It looked like a bot. Maybe, and I don't know for sure, so I can't say it's definite. Maybe it got reported so many times that they just removed my account. I don't know. I was getting high engagement with it. I was shadow banned for a while. They lifted the shadow ban. I was getting high engagement. Long story short, that Instagram page is gone. They let me appeal it. They told me they'd let me know in 24 hours. And as I check right now live, I have no notifications that my account has been restored. I do have another Instagram account. It's the Great Divide 1776 that, you know, I'll use, but I'm going to concentrate more on Truth Social. If you're on Truth Social, follow me at the Great Divide podcast. I'm verified on there. I'm still going to start posting a lot more. I always put my Rumble shows on there. Follow me there. You can also get me on Getter, Alan Jacoby, A-L-A-N-J-A-C-O-B-Y, 1776 on Getter, where I also live stream my shows on Getter. So if you're not on Getter, if you're not on Getter, you should get on Getter. If you're not on Truth Social, you should get on Truth Social. And I don't want to hear it and say, well, I don't have an iPhone. I do not have an iPhone either. I have an Android and I am on Truth Social. You can go to truthsocial.com on your desktop and you can start an account. Then you can go to your browser on your phone and you can type in truthsocial.com, log into your account, and then go into settings and pin the page to your homepage on your smartphone. And then it shows up as a little app, right? and you can press it like an app. And then I'm doing it right now. And then it opens up to my Truth Social account. And I have Truth Social on the Android. And from what I'm hearing from people, it actually works better than the actual app this way. And I am on there. So there's no excuse to not be on Truth Social. Facebook, obviously, I have a tremendous following on Facebook. We just hit 32,000 followers. You guys are great. It grows by the day. I think I just hit 31,000 followers like a little over a couple, maybe a couple weeks ago. And you guys are always commenting and sharing and engaging, and it's great. But unfortunately, we are in this information war, and social media is a necessary evil for people like me and for people like us to engage and converse and try to get information out to people. Valid information. I'm not talking about misinformation. And the mainstream media doesn't want that. The left doesn't want that. I mean, they have the media cartel bill that they want to get passed that basically allows big tech and media companies to lobby and push out conservative outlets, whether it's big or small. That's what they want to do. They don't want me on there. But Facebook can't just delete me. I guess they could. But they're not just going to delete me because they don't like my political views. No, they would find a reason, and knock on wood, and I'm probably going to jinx it right now, that I don't have any violations on Facebook. They do not remove any of my content, and they allow the page to grow. Thank you, Facebook, even though I despise you. I have a tremendous viewership on Facebook, and again, I get to thank you all for that. So enough about that. Censorship, we know it's real. It's there. It's just not, it's not bullshit. I did nothing wrong. I had no, again, nothing about, oh, violating community standards. You're warned. Your page is at risk of being unpublished. None of that. Zero. I was never given a warning that my page may be unpublished. I was never given a warning that I'm spreading misinformation, or that I'm not going to be reaching the amount of people I was reaching. None of that. Just boom. Gone. Sayonara. Okay. Oh, did I just, what do they call that? Appropriate. Oh, did I just appropriate? I said sayonara and I'm white. I'm Caucasian. I'm not Asian. I don't care. Okay. Kamala Harris, the next most useless individual in the Biden administration, next to, I don't know, all of them, Mayor Pete, you name it. Name one. They're all useless. So she was in the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea. Hold on, I need a cup of coffee. I need a drink of coffee here. Enough of this editing and stuff like that. We're live shows, and you'll deal with it, or you'll leave. Don't leave. So Kamala Harris, she goes to the demilitarized zone and talks about, supposed to be talking about how great, you know, our relationship is with South Korea. But she actually stands there in the demilitarized zone and doesn't correct herself and talks about how great North Korea is. This is not a mistake that a president or a vice president should be or should be allowed to make, at especially at this location, in the demilitarized zone between the two Koreas, and especially with the political climate of what's going on. I mean, North Korea is literally, again, firing ballistic missiles and threatening to nuke everybody that's against them. America, South Korea, everybody wants to nuke everybody, which, people, I don't believe is going to happen, because I don't believe that those sickos who talk about they're not bluffing about nukes and they would consider using nukes, I truly believe that they do not have the balls. Because they know once they do, that's it for them, that they're signing their own death warrant, that they are okay with unliving themselves because they're now going to launch a nuclear holocaust. Because then I don't believe that Putin, who's basically the wealthiest man in the world, whether people want to believe it or not, or the little dictator in North Korea, because he's nice, fat, and plump while his people are starving. I don't believe they want to give up that lifestyle. I believe they love the power. They love being able to threaten certain things, but I don't think they're ready to push those buttons and suffer their own consequences, because they know once that happens, there's no turning back. There's no button to bring them back. And then everybody's dead. You, me, them, everybody. So Kamala Harris goes to North Korea. Well, the demilitarized zone, where she turns around and talks about North Korea. And I'm going to make you suffer through the 12-second remarks right now. And there it is. Look at the Korean. I think those are Korean helicopters in the background. The demilitarized zone. Pretty sure this was today.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
Let's listen to that again.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
Strong and enduring alliance with North Korea. Now, we know she meant South Korea. We know. It's not the point. It should not have happened. But are we surprised? Are we surprised that this idiot sandwich screwed this up? No, we're not surprised. But now imagine if Donald J. Trump, who was the only American president to have the balls to walk into North Korea with the little dictator, and he got attacked for that. Oh, look, he's cozying up to little Rocket Man. They're probably going to go and touch each other because Donald Trump loves dictators because he wants to be a dictator. No. But imagine if Donald Trump was there and he made that mistake. If Donald Trump made that mistake, how bad would the backlash be in the mainstream media? I mean, seriously, how bad would it be? Just like when Joe Biden looks for a dead congresswoman. Imagine if Donald Trump, and I forget the guy's name, he started looking for that black dead congressman who had passed away. Was he from Baltimore? I forget his name. Whatever. Call me disrespectful. I don't give a shit. He was a Democrat. He hated America. Sorry you died, but whatever. But now imagine if Donald Trump did that. Again, the world would be ending. Look what the big bad orange man did. He disrespected an honorable dead congresswoman. Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to call this idiot out, Joe Biden, for completely trans. I wonder if her family was there, because they were honoring her in part for this. And then they were going to have some signing ceremony next week or whatever this bullshit is. But just imagine sitting there and your family member was a Republican congresswoman. You're obviously not in support of Democrats. But when you're at that level, a lot of the time, even with their family, it's like, oh, well, take the man out of it. Respect the office, the president of the United States, no matter who it is. It's, oh, they're honoring my mother, aunt, whatever it is. She was a congresswoman. And it's a nice thing to see. OK, let's go with that for a minute. And then you're sitting there and you're like, holy shit. This fucking moron, Joe Biden, is looking for my dead relative when she died a month ago in a horrific car accident. She wasn't sick, didn't have cancer. She literally was driving down the road and she was killed. And the president just happened to forget. All right. Is the president, the president's a president, the title, the office, the president, you're a busy individual. Leader of the free world. I'm not talking about Joe Biden. I'm talking about the office. Could things like that slip your mind? Absolutely. That's why you have such a large staff and people up your ass every day dictating your every move, your schedule, your information you need to know. And hey, Joe Biden gets cheat cards for press conferences. He's on a teleprompter. He mumbled through it and he looked for the dead congresswoman. And then Kamala Harris is at the demilitarized zone saying how we have a great relationship with North Korea. Now, she knows she said that. Maybe not in the moment. She did not correct herself. At least say, South Korea. I mean, at that point, you're just balls deep in this ridiculous statement that you made. But now when you go back to the White House or the West Wing or your office or the Naval Observatory, wherever the hell she goes and does nothing, did anyone from her staff say, did she watch it after the fact? Oh, by the way, this is what you said. Did she see it and say to herself, wow, I'm an idiot? Or did she honestly just look at it if she even knew it was pointed out to her and just be like, we just won't talk about it. If we don't talk about it and we get the media not to talk about it, which they control anyway, you know, the mainstream media, that it didn't happen. It didn't happen. We don't have to worry about it. We could just act like it didn't happen. It's like when you were a kid and you closed your eyes and thought that if you closed your eyes, no one could see you. You know, you ever play that game? Well, it's the same thing. Well, I said something stupid as the president, vice president, Congress, Senate, whatever. But if I don't acknowledge it and address it, it never happened. We'll just let it go. Well, that's why we have to hold these scumbags accountable for every single thing they do, especially Democrats, but also especially Rhino Republicans as well, without a doubt. So talking about word salad, we know Kamala Harris is famous for it. And honestly, I didn't even look to see what in the hell she was talking about, where she was, because I just saw it. And at that point, I didn't care because everything she does is useless anyway. We know that. And she's just full of word salad and shit. But another one, and this is magical word salad. Magical. Where you've said so much and have said absolutely nothing, which he's done in the past. Again, do you look at yourself and just say, what the fuck did I just say? Was this on the teleprompter? Or was she just completely off script? Or does some idiot want to troll her and her staff and give her this to say? I can't believe that some idiot wrote this for her to say. So let me bring this up.
Today, the business of our work is for the council to report on the work that has occurred since our last meeting across these areas. We will today also discuss the work yet ahead, the work we must still do to continue to move forward.
What do we move forward for what? Today, the business of our work is for the council to report on the work that has occurred since our last meeting. We will today also discuss the work yet ahead, the work we must still do. Some fucking idiot on the left will turn around and say that makes perfect sense, that she was talking about this bit, this work and that work and what this work is. And they will say that made perfect sense. And yes, that's exactly what we have to do. What we have to do is get these people far away from the White House. That's what we need to do. I mean, it's important. I got to give a shout out to my guys over at Motocop Chronicles podcast. They're in the chat over on Facebook. Go check them out. They have a bunch of motorcycle cops talking about a bunch of law enforcement stuff. And if you watch it, you will crack up because they're funny, sometimes off the rails. And go follow them on Facebook, Motocop Chronicles podcast, because when these guys are out on their motorbikes, they have cameras on it and sometimes they live stream, and it's pretty wild because you could see like them doing escorts on police motorcycles and stuff. So it's cool. Go follow them guys. Motocop Chronicles podcast. Work the work, but we work for the work because of the work. Absolutely. Keep working, doing the work we all need to do for the work that needs to be done and the work that we did and the work that moves us forward to more victorious work. Come on, man. North Korea. friends with North Korea. And then, all right, so we have elections coming. We have midterm elections, just a few, 4 weeks away, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. I don't know. I don't have a calendar in front of me. Count the fucking days. So why do these Democrats, that's a rhetorical question. I hate rhetorical questions. It's complete. Let me rephrase. Strike that. It's unbelievable how these ridiculous Democrats that are running in governor races, Senate races, Congress races, this race, that race, they don't want to debate. I'm not going to ask why they don't want to debate, because we know, because their policies suck and they will get completely destroyed by Republicans. But that's not the point. You're putting yourself out there. You're running for elected office. You're running to represent the people. Well, most of the time, a lot of these people are running to enrich themselves and line their pockets and do nefarious bullshit at work. Take away your gun rights. Take away this. Take away that. And completely take giant shit on the United States Constitution and not defend it. But anyway, I digress. John Fetterwoman, right? Or John Fetterman. He calls himself Fetterwoman because, you know, he's appealing to the feminists. In Pennsylvania, running for the open seat in Senate. He's currently the lieutenant governor. Dr. Oz is running against him, which I say it all the time. I'm not a fan of Dr. Oz, but he is the Republican nominee. He has a longtime relationship with Donald Trump. He is the best option. And he needs to get elected, and not this guy, John Fetterman, who loves criminals, hates the police, loves drugs, wants to legalize drugs, loves drug dens, wants to let all the prisoners out of jail. Complete piece of shit, had a stroke, can't formulate a sentence, can't formulate a paragraph, won't debate Dr. Oz. Now, apparently, they're going to debate, but they're debating, yes, trust fund baby, Mr. Hoodie, can't make a sentence, never worked a day in his life, gets an allowance from mommy and daddy, and then comes out and apparently owns all these properties that he tried to hide. Complete piece of shit. I call him retarded Shrek, or he looks like Uncle Fester in a hoodie. I put out a meme and called him Uncle Festerman. Uncle Fester. So he apparently now will debate, but it's going to be not a live debate. And he has to get everything in advance and has extra time to respond because now he had the stroke and he's retarded Shrek and he can't handle it. How is this guy going to handle being a United States senator on the United States Senate floor in the chamber fighting for the people? How is that possible? It's not. And he now is backtracking on a lot of things. He was a big, again, he was a big proponent for the criminals and the Black Lives Matter criminal enterprise, the criminal organization, the real insurrectionists of the country, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, who burnt down cities, embezzled tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, did nothing for Black communities except burn them down, did nothing for Black communities except put small businesses out of business, did nothing for Black communities but bought giant mansions in white neighborhoods so they could live, gave themselves hundreds of thousands of dollars in salaries. One guy was just embezzled for, I think, stealing $10 million. The main Black Lives Matter organization is getting sued by all the small chapters. They're just giant shit terrorists, BLM, buying large mansions. Burn, loot, march. Burn, loot, murder. That's what BLM is. I'm not, and it's not a racist thing to say, okay? Black lives matter, white lives matter, cop lives matter, all lives matter. You know what? Fuck all he is, no lives matter. How do you like that? I can't believe he said that. I said it. I said it because I hate most people. So, except for you guys. You guys I like. I don't like talking to humans. I like talking to a camera, to people on Facebook, Getter, Rumble, and everywhere else. So, Fetterman was a big Black Lives Matter proponent. And just recently, very interesting, he removes a Black Lives Matter paragraph from his website, which was there. It was apparently a version of the webpage was archived back in July, and that archived site was touting John Fetterwoman's support for Black Lives Matter under a heading. It was like what John believes. Okay. I don't know if I have it. I thought I did. I might actually. No, he had it removed, but I couldn't find it. I'm not going to waste time finding it, but this guy, Retarded Shrek, loved Black Lives Matter and what they stood for. And he supported everything they did, from the rioting to the crime to everything. And basically, like everybody else, well, they're pissed off and they're just acting out, you know. He served when he was mayor of a city in Pennsylvania that was more than 80% black. And the website said that and was praising him for that, and that he championed the idea that Black Lives Matter long before it became a hashtag. That's what the website read, which was all bullshit. We know that. The guy can't put two thoughts together. But it's interesting. Why did he remove that? You know, he has a video out there. He talks about Black Lives Matter. It's interesting what these guys are doing as far as politics going. I mean, look, Black Lives Matter wanted a seat at the table. They demanded a seat at the table for helping get Joe Biden elected. But as a matter of fact, Black Lives Matter said, we helped remove Trump from office. And then when Joe Biden got installed, they slammed the door on Black Lives Matter. And then they were all pissed off and put letters out. Get us a seat at the table with the Biden administration. So these people are so fake. You won't debate Dr. Oz. Carrie Lake in Arizona, her opponent, I forget her name, won't debate her. My home state, Lee Zeldin, who's running against the vile individual, Kathy Hochul, who's Cuomo in a dress, but worse. She's actually worse than Cuomo. She won't debate. And then she agreed to one debate after voting had started. And then Lee Zeldin was like, no, I want three debates. Now, here's my thing with debates. And you can chime in the chat and let me know. Comment. Tell me what you think about the election and campaign rules and laws and debates. My thing is, and I think something should be done, that if you're going to run for any type of office, whether it's local, federal, I think it should be a campaign rule and law everywhere that you must commit to a minimum of three debates before election season starts. You have to say election season because now it's early voting here, mail-in voting there. Go pick up the people at the crematorium before they get cremated to go bring them to vote. Go to the morgue and get all those schleps and bring them to the ballot box. Got to make sure everybody, warm, cold, dead or alive, has the opportunity to vote in our election cycles now, because that's just how the world works. So three debates, best two out of three, however they want to do that. You should not be, it should be, you should be fined. You should be sanctioned, whatever the penalty is, if you do not schedule and make happen three debates. Debates are crucial to campaigns. We get to see the candidates, both Republican, Democrat, whatever it is, sometimes vulnerable. We get to see them under pressure. We get to see them respond to things that they normally wouldn't be asked, that nobody maybe would have the guts to ask them, except their opponent that they're running against, and they're slinging mud back and forth. We need to see that. Me personally, in some of these things, I would like to see like celebrity death match for them to get in a ring and just, you know, whoever comes out wins, you know, sometimes. But the boxes at the border take longer to pick up. Yeah, that's why they had dates. Well, now with like 5 million illegals in, which, you know, the Democrats would love to have voting in all elections. I mean, you know, that's why I say, if that's their motive and their plan is with all these illegals that are breaking the law coming into the country to get them driver's licenses and some other, you know, paperwork, and then eventually get them voter registration and work on them to become registered Democrats. If that's the way the world is going to work now and that's going to happen, then Republicans need to get off their ass and work effectively and maybe get some of these people to register as Republicans and let them know the conservative way of life and that they're just going to be exploited and used by Democrats and end up with nothing and controlled because that's what they want. Hey, you got to play fire with fire. I will say that the Democrats are very good at their effectiveness with raining their evil down on the American people and manipulating everything and everything in their path. They're very good at it. They're very good at lawfare. They're calculated. Unfortunately, the GOP is not. Unfortunately, the Republican Party spends more time fighting each other for credit and competition and everything else than really focusing on, hey, these evil fucking Democrats are going to steamroll over us and destroy our lives and our country and the Constitution if we don't get our heads out of our asses, band together, and become an effective war machine in the campaign process and the election process against these evil, cheating, lying fucks. That's what needs to happen. And I say it all the time, how do we make that happen? Start talking to each other, not just flag waving in a parking lot, taking Instagram photos and going home. No, come up with an actual strategy. What are we doing? Who are we getting out to vote? Who are we getting registered to vote? That's what needs to happen. Because, you know, when you have people like George, so the whole Fetterman Oz thing, the whole debate thing, it's a whole debacle. And we need to get these Republicans elected. We need to get, you know, Dr. Oz and Fetterman, they keep saying the polls, they have this tie going on, which is just blows my mind in Pennsylvania. Like, people in Pennsylvania, wake the fuck up. Stop being so stupid. Do what you got to do. I know the polls are the polls and we don't like the polls, but sometimes they're accurate. A lot of times they're not. Get out, campaign, and vote. Voting is coming. So we have George Soros out there trying to manipulate elections, local, federal, money, you know, organizations, nonprofit. He's funding everything. And now, so, yeah, I got to agree with you. You know, as shitty as the Democrats are, when they're in power, they do stuff. And when the GOP has it, they sit on their hands. I was just talking to Roger Stone about that on his show, saying, listen, because I was on a radio show on Tuesday in Delaware that I do a guest spot on there. And the Talk of Delmar on Delaware Radio. I forget the station. Not like you're going to tune in and listen anyway. Jake Smith is the host of that show. Someone called in and we were talking about, well, when Donald Trump was president, he had the House for the first 2 years and nothing got done. So, and it's not Donald Trump's fault, but of course, the left and even some morons on the right who don't understand logic don't realize that Donald Trump can't control those two houses. As a matter of fact, those two houses were controlled by rhino pieces of shit that hated Donald Trump, but acted like they didn't, Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell. And made sure a lot of things didn't happen to make Donald Trump look bad and just to, hey, we don't like this guy. He's against the establishment because Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell and all their cronies, a heavy, hardcore establishment, deep state, whatever you want to call them. So I don't know how many times, if you listen to the show, you hear me say it all the time. If we get the majority and Kevin McCarthy becomes Speaker of the House, we do not win unless there's enough America First candidates that flip seats to either one, make sure he's not Speaker of the House, or two, put so much pressure on him that he has to take a knee to a point and get things done that the GOP wants to. I think Kevin McCarthy is going to talk a good game. He's going to end up being Speaker of the House, and he's going to do nothing. That's my prediction, especially if you know, the 2 years go by and, you know, whether Joe Biden finishes his presidency or Kamala Harris finishes it for him, then when Donald Trump runs for president and if he gets elected, then what are they going to do for the next 2 years, for the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency? Are they going to put America first? Are they going to make things happen? Yeah. Yes. 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 Rhinos belong in a zoo, not our government. And there are too many rhinos, too many rhinos. But again, to sit here and predict what's going to happen in 2024, let alone what's going to happen in the midterm elections, it makes no sense because we don't know. And we have a lot of issues. There's a lot that's going to happen between now and elections. We know that. What's the October surprise going to be, if there is one? I want to get into Florida and a hurricane and a thought that I have with elections there coming up. And timing is just really shitty. But I wanted to get back to George Soros quick because, again, we know he's entrenched everywhere, from district attorney races to school boards to now getting involved in illegal aliens avoiding deportation. Literally, a Soros-linked group. This is great because it all goes back to Joe Biden. I need another sip of coffee for this. And I am actually drinking Mike Lindell's My Coffee from MyStore.com. Legit, that's what I'm drinking. And it's really, really good. You can go to MyStore.com and get Mike Lindell's My Coffee. You can use my promo code GREAT1776. I think you get 25% off. It's really good. But if you're going to do that, then you have to go to my cigar website, because I'm not a big drinker when I smoke cigars. I like drinking coffee when I smoke cigars. So my company, MyPatriotCigars.com, go there, because I have four amazing cigars to choose from. I know there are cigar smokers out there that love cigars. They want to smoke Patriot cigars. So go to MyPatriotCigar.com and use promo code CIGAR15. Get 15% off at checkout. Free shipping over orders of $100. Four cigars to choose from. You have the sampler pack on there. They're aged tobacco. They're made in Nicaragua. 100% long filler. Tobacco is aged at least 3 years. I'm a cigar snob. I'm beyond a cigar snob. Been smoking cigars since I'm 18 years old. I smoke every day, and it took me over a year to figure out the blends that I wanted. And I put these four together and I was like, this is it. Let's do it. Just launched about going on like 3 weeks now. So MyPatriotCigars.com, promo code CIGAR15 for 15% off. Anyway, George Soros linked group wins a $41 million federal contract from Joe Biden and his regime to help illegal aliens, people that broke the law to come here, evade deportation. This is a non-governmental organization, or affectionately known as an NGO, that has heavy financial links to billionaire George Soros, won the $41 million federal contract from Joe Biden's DOJ to help illegal aliens evade deportation from the United States. So our DOJ, our president, it's all complicit, dark money, George Soros. Don't let these people get deported. The Acacia Center for Justice is an NGO with financial ties to the Soros-linked Vera Institute, all the dark money, scored a contract from Biden's DOJ to provide legal services to border crossers and illegal aliens after they are released into the United States interior in the hopes of staying permanently. This is a liberal nonprofit, and it's a taxpayer-backed government contract in the sum of $41 million, and it's working to help illegal immigrants fight deportation amid the escalating crisis of illegal immigrants invading our country. So this nonprofit came from the Vera Institute of Justice, which has strong financial ties to the one and only George Soros. And this contract, it began just months after the Under the Radar nonprofit, which is this George Soros nonprofit, received a July 29th determination letter from the IRS, which stated the group's effective date of tax exemption was December 29th, 2021. The Soros-linked Vera Institute of Justice was also recently awarded, as another NGO that's the base that this one morphed off of, was recently awarded a $172 million contract from Biden's DOJ to do the same work, help illegal aliens evade deportation from the United States. And in 2018, the, I'm sorry, 2008, I believe, the Vera Institute of Justice was awarded a $310 million contract. Awarded $310 million by the Obama administration to help unaccompanied alien children avoid deportation. Where's all this money going? Whose pockets? George Soros. He's giving it to Democrats running for office. He's giving it to socialists running for office. And it's not going to stop. And our current administration is complicit. Obama's administration was complicit. Hundreds of millions of dollars going into George Soros NGOs that he has heavy financial interest in. All right, enough of that. I want to get into this hurricane a little bit. They're attacking Ron DeSantis because he's a big, bad Republican that everybody loves and they hate, and he's running for re-election again next, few weeks, whenever the election is. But now we had this devastating hurricane come and devastate Florida. 2 million people out with power. Midterms are coming. Winter is coming. The midterms are coming. Areas of Florida are completely destroyed and devastated. They think that hundreds might be dead. Homes, businesses, everything. How is this going to affect the midterm elections? Are we going to see, because Roger Stone talks about that there are concerns of election irregularities and election integrity in certain areas of Florida. It is far from a landslide victory for Ron DeSantis. I don't care what anybody says. And most people, even political pundits like Roger Stone, political strategists, say it and agree with me. So where does that leave the midterm elections and the governor election in Florida now amidst the hurricane? Not meaning, is the hurricane going to hurt Ron DeSantis as running for election? No, I think it's going to help him because of his response and what he's doing in Florida, which the press was attacking him for and said a reporter asked him a question. I have that video about his lack of response, which he knew, and he called it out, which was complete bullshit because he declared a state of emergency before the storm even really officially formed and was heading towards Florida. I think even before it hit Cuba, he declared a state of emergency and was getting all the power and utility companies immobilized and everything else. So I have another short clip of this reporter asking him straight out his lack of response. And Ron DeSantis calls it out. And here's, because this is what they're doing. They're using this hurricane, the Democrats and the media is using this hurricane for climate change, the importance of climate change, that Republicans are climate deniers and that they shouldn't be elected because if you elect Democrats, I mean, literally that Klobuchar said it, if you elect Democrats, we can prevent these disasters. Has electing Democrats in California prevented any type of earthquakes or wildfires? Has electing Democrats in areas of Florida or anything stopped hurricanes? Hurricane season is the first hurricane that made landfall. So this is the narrative. They're going to push and politicize this devastating event for people in Florida to push the narrative of big, bad climate change because man, bear, pig is real and Al Gore is super, super serial. South Park, for those that watch it. And if you don't, you should. All right. Ron DeSantis, here we go.
Yes.
FEMA Administrator Chris Well said today that she acknowledged concerns that Florida, as was said, lacks response to the storm so far, and that
give me a break. That here is nonsense. Stop politicizing, okay? Stop it. We declared a state of emergency when this thing wasn't even formed. We've had people in here. You've had counties doing. They've done a lot of hard work. And honestly, you're trying to attack me, I get. But, like, you're attacking these other people who've worked very hard. And so that's just totally false. I don't think we've ever, certainly since I've been governor, declared a state of emergency this early. We made sure that we were very inclusive with it. We said that there was a lot of uncertainty. And we've worked to make sure the preparations that have been done and all the stuff, you talk to the people.
So there you go. He just goes on about how they're preparing. But I want to bring you to the beginning of it. I want you to hear what the reporter says. He's actually, and I didn't catch it at first when I listened to it earlier today, but when I pulled the clip for the show, is that he's actually asking a question based on apparently a statement that the FEMA director made. So now, is it the FEMA director, who is a political appointee by Joe Biden, who's obviously a Democrat, pointing fingers at Joe Biden as the FEMA director, at Ron DeSantis as the FEMA director, saying, oh, their lack of response? So I just want to right in the beginning, let's listen to that again.
Yes.
FEMA Administrator Chris Wells said today that she acknowledged concerns that Florida's, as was said, lacks response to the storm so far, and that...
Whoa.
Okay. The FEMA director, the FEMA administrator, concerns of the lax response. So he was asking a question based on what he was heard the FEMA administrator say. So the FEMA administrator, who's obviously a ridiculous moron liberal Biden administration appointee, basically pointing fingers at Ron DeSantis saying his lax response. And we know that that's not true. Regardless, it is being politicized and it shouldn't be politicized, but that goes to show what the Democrats are famous for. Never let a good crisis go to waste. That is their motto for everything. Whether look at school shootings. Oh, there's a school shooting. Let's take guns away. We don't care about these dead kids. As a matter of fact, we're going to raise money off these dead kids that got shot up in the school. Oh, Roe v. Wade got shut down and sent to the states, which did not make abortion illegal in the United States of America. But now it went back to the states for them to decide. Oh, yeah, we'll act like we don't like it as Democrats, but in fact, we love it because we're going to raise millions and millions and millions of dollars for our campaigns off of the backs of dead children because they love to kill them and Hillary loves to eat them. I said it. Shut up. Listen, do me a favor. Hit the share button. Let's not mess around. You guys are always good about hitting the share button. I don't need your money. I want you to hit the share button. That helps. The messaging. I want the messaging of my show to spread like a virus to the unvaccinated. Because the vaccinated aren't going to listen to me anyway. So hit the share button and help me out. If you're on Rumble, or you're not on Rumble, you should go to my Rumble page, The Great Divide Podcast with Alan Jacoby, and you should subscribe. You should go to my Getter page, Alan Jacoby 1776, and follow. You should go to my Truth Social page at The Great Divide Podcast and follow. Because if you're not, you're useless to me. No, that's not true. So, yeah. What's going to happen with the midterms in Florida? What's going to happen with the governor election in Florida? Are they going to be able? Are people going to have easy access to vote now? That's the issue. Things are devastated, and this is right before very important elections in Florida. And I don't know if anybody's really talking about that or paying attention about to that. What is going to happen with elections in Florida? There, it doesn't seem that they're going to run as smooth as if they would when there wasn't 12 feet of water and houses were floating down the street and sharks were swimming down side streets. I saw some video today that there was a shark swimming on a side street somewhere. I forget where it was. But that's important questions to ask. Like what's going to happen with the voting access, then the polling places. Is the National Guard going to get involved in that part of it? Is FEMA going to get involved in that part of it? I really hope FEMA is not going to get involved in that part of it. How is the Florida State Police, or whatever it is? That is a question that Ron DeSantis should be asked as the governor of his state, and whoever is in charge of overseeing the election. And in his state, if they have a secretary of state, whatever it is, that, you know, some states don't have secretaries of state. So what are they going to do about the elections and to maintain election integrity in the state of Florida because of this hurricane that just happened? And it's things aren't going to go back to normal by election day. Okay. We're talking months and months, a year more for things to get rebuilt and redone and power issues and everything else. So that should be really, really on top of the list next to the preserving and saving of lives, obviously. Property doesn't matter. That can always be rebuilt. We do have an important election coming up, both governor election in Florida and federal elections, Congress, Senate, and everything else, plus other local elections, I'm sure. And the people of Florida need to be able to vote and have access to the voting polls in an efficient, smooth manner. I think it's very important. I don't know about you. You should let me know. So, okay. With that, I want to see if I can get to one more thing. Maybe two more things. Yeah, we have some time. Jen Psaki, circle back. She was on NBC's Meet the Press on Sunday, I believe, with forget that douchebag's name. His name slips me. You'll know his face when I play the video. But Joe Biden is so toxic that even Jen Psaki's like, yeah, I don't know about this guy. I mean, we know that Democrats don't want him anywhere near their campaigns and everything else, but Jen Psaki's going to do some show with MSNBC. I was surprised. I was actually a little surprised at her stance with this, but in a sense, I guess maybe I wasn't, but I'm going to play it and let you hear for yourself, and we'll talk about it. Oh, there's that disgusting, vile redhead. Circle back. Here we go.
Looking for solutions, and that's why the ads reflect it.
Yeah. Jen, I'm going to play you, though, an interesting ad that ties abortion rights and crime. It's in Arizona. Take a watch.
She would force pregnancy on victims of rape and incest. Enforcing that law now makes cops
this is all bullshit too.
For going after doctors and nurses and medical
look up the stats
can be
on rape and incest with abortions.
It's a waste of resources.
They're like less than 7% and 1% respectively.
Keep our community safe.
Stop it.
I'm not sure how this is either really effective or you're trying to get the voter to take two issues and tie them together. You're trying too hard. I don't know, but an interesting response.
Yeah, look, I think that Democrats,
Chuck
if
Dodd.
The election is about who is the most extreme, as we saw, you know, Kevin McCarthy touch on there with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'll say her name, sitting over his left side.
Like it's so evil, I'll say her name.
If it is a referendum on the president, they will lose, and they know that. They also know that crime is
that?
A huge vulnerability for Democrats. I would say one of the biggest vulnerabilities. And if you look at Pennsylvania, for example, what's been interesting to me is it's always you follow the money and where are people spending money. And in Pennsylvania, the Republicans have been spending millions of dollars on the air on crime ads against Fetterman because that's where they see his vulnerability. So, yes, the economy is hanging over everything, but you do have to look at state by state factors. And crime is a huge issue in the Pennsylvania race.
Are you concerned about Democratic big money? We did an analysis that showed basically the because Mike Bloomberg and Tom Steyer don't want to be president, you're missing about $50 million in big super PAC money. That's a big gap.
It's true. What I will say that's a good news for the long term is that where they're spending money is on state and local races, something that Democrats and
money,
big
people.
Money Democrats have not done for a long time. The disadvantage, though, on super PACs Republicans have, even though there's a lot more money there, is that the ad costs are higher, and there's only limited ad space available. And by law, campaigns get preference over super PACs for ad time.
You wanted to retort real quick.
All right. I don't need to hear the other woman. So if it's a referendum on Joe Biden's 2 years in office, the Democrats will lose the majority. Coming from his former White House press secretary, who was Barack Obama's former press secretary for the State Department, I believe. That, again, if the midterm elections are a referendum on President Joe Biden's first 2 years in office, Democrats will lose their majorities. She even knows Democrat policies and Joe Biden are now that she's a political pundit and she's out of government for Joe Biden's a piece of shit and so are Democrat policies. The people that she worked for, the people that she defended behind that podium when they were talking about the defunding of the police and everything else. Loving their criminals. Now she says that she knows that the Democrats are very vulnerable when it comes to crime. So that's very interesting. Very interesting. And more Democrats are, I think, thinking this way. because they know Joe Biden is shit. They know Democrat policies are shit. They have nothing to run on but destroying and smearing Republicans. That's all they do. So, yeah, what do? We make sure we get out and vote. I truly believe, listen, in my state, Lee Zeldin running for Republican, there are, again, I said it not too long ago, prominent Democrats that are coming out and they are endorsing him. You see, I talked to quite a few Democrats that are saying that they have never voted Republican in their life and they never thought that they would, but they are going to. They are going to vote Republican. Those same people, though, when I ask if Donald Trump runs for president in 2024, would not confirm that they would vote for him. Some said no. Some said maybe. Some said, well, we have to see who else is running. But I guess it's enough to say that they won't vote for Democrats in the midterms. But again, talk is cheap on both sides. Talk is cheap, Republican and Democrats. We got to get Republicans out to the polls to vote in person the day of. It's very, very important. What I didn't get to, and I spoke about a little bit on, I guess I could talk about it for a few minutes. We still have some time. This Nord Stream pipeline that was reportedly sabotaged, blown up, you know, in the Baltic Sea. And, you know, Germany has a big investigation going and who did it, why, and everything else. You know, Putin, blaming it on Putin and Ukraine and blah, blah, blah. And well, we're giving them $12 billion more dollars up. Now we're up to like $65 billion and all this bullshit. You know, Joe Biden made a comment in an interview and I saw it on Reuters February of this year. And he specifically said that he warned Russia if they invaded Ukraine, there would be no Nord Stream 2. And they were trying to get clarification in the press on what that meant. And he just smirked and said, trust me, there'll be no Nord Stream 2. What does that mean? Because now the Nord Stream 2 was, again, it blew up. It's sabotaged. And in a sense, could be viewed as an act of war. Are they going to be able to prove who did it? Probably not. Did the Biden administration have a play in it? That is an interesting comment that he made, that if Russia invades Ukraine, there'll be no more Nord Stream 2. It can get very conspiratorial. We can jump down rabbit holes with it. It's definitely a conversation to have. And I plan on having that conversation a little more with some of the truthers I deal with, especially James Curry from We the People Radio, which reminds me, I will not be on Freedom Friday tomorrow. I will be attending a wedding. James Curry will be on the regular time, 9 p.m., with two guests from another podcast that we sometimes collaborate with, the Patriot Party podcast, Mick and V. Lynn. I believe they're going to be live at 9 p.m. tomorrow. I will not, but I'll be back. I'll be back Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern with my second episode of the new collaboration show I'm doing, The Great Steak Breakfast, with the boys from the Steak for Breakfast podcast, Ron and Noah. We did our first episode last Saturday. It got some tremendous viewership and it got a lot of good feedback. So we are going to continue doing that every Saturday morning live right here on Facebook. Getter. Actually, that one's going to be on YouTube as well, The Great Steak Breakfast. We're going to be on Rumble and the Patriot Podcast Network. We'll be on Cloud Hub also. And you'll be able to get that Saturday morning show. And you'll be seeing more of me. I'm going to be doing at least four shows a week. Monday, 6:30. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And then it'll either be Tuesday or Thursday, maybe both. Sometimes I got to take a night off. And then Friday, I'll be back next Friday, Freedom Friday with James. And then I'll be doing Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. with the new show, The Great Steak Breakfast, which is going to be the most America First podcast in the country with Ron and Noah. We're actually, this Saturday morning, we're having a Republican that's running for Congress in California. I forget his name. I think it's Pete Hernandez, who is a big favorite, possibly will get a Trump endorsement. And we're going to have him on to talk to him about the race and what's going on Saturday morning. So with that, people, please share. Hit the share. Subscribe on Rumble. Follow me on Truth Social. Truth Social is the big one I'm trying to work on now. If you're on Facebook, you already follow me. But if you're watching and you're not following me on Facebook, The Great Divide 1776, that's on Facebook. The Great Divide Podcast on Truth Social. Hit the follow. Hit the subscribe. Please hit the share. I love you all for doing it. You always amaze me how many times this gets shared. We do live and then I wake up the next morning and it's like, oh, look at all these shares and people are watching and commenting and, you know, telling me I'm a piece of shit insurrectionist or that they really like me. But either way, I condone it. I don't mind the trolls. I don't go around blocking the trolls unless they're going to threaten violence and they start threatening violence against my followers. I do watch a lot of the comments. I run my own social media. So I do see most of the comments on the social media pages, especially Facebook. Sometimes I lose tracks when there's like 1500 comments on a post, which happens often, which I can't even believe that's a thing now that I'm getting that much engagement. And again, thank you so much because you're all great patriots. Just hit 32,000 followers on Facebook. Get me to 40,000 followers. Share the page with like-minded patriots. Invite people to follow the Facebook page. Get the Truth Social out to people. Facebook is a huge, huge viewership platform for me. I think I'm going to be doing a giveaway soon with maybe some cigars and I haven't figured out how to do it yet. And Let's Go Brandon Wines from Westerly Wines, who I'm good friends with him. I'm going to do some giveaways, maybe some hats and stuff. We got We the People hats and all kinds of stuff. I want to start giving out some stuff to you guys. I just got to figure out what hoops I got to make you guys jump through to get some free stuff. You're going to have to follow and share and like, and don't send me nudes. Just don't do that. That I won't have you do. Anyway, that's it, people. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your weekends. You'll see, if you come back Saturday morning, you'll see me with Rona Noah. Tune in Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, The Great Steak Breakfast. Please come back. Hit the share, hit the like. I'll talk to you soon.